Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good over here. We got some nice blue skies. Can't complain.
Yeah, it looks really beautiful, like with the snow and the blue sky. It's just a good contrast. I love it. It's a gorgeous day. We're going to see sun all throughout the afternoon. And highs today are going to get much warmer. We're going to climb to the mid-40s, melting some of that away. And then, of course, that means fog possibly through the overnight and into early tomorrow morning. But overall, really just a dry, bright, beautiful week. Getting warmer every single day. I mean, tomorrow will be near 50 degrees. On Thursday, we'll be into the mid-50s. And then we're going to start to see the changes with some rain rolling in for the weekend.
Mm. All right.
But that should wipe out our snow pretty much by the end of the week, eh?
Mm.
Yes. And then I'm concerned with between the snow melting all throughout the week and then added rain on top of that this weekend, our rivers and streams are going to be rising pretty rapidly.
Check your basements.
Yeah, I was just thinking. Yeah. You know, I know it's something my parents, I'll have to tell my dad, give him a heads up. We appreciate the heads up, Brittany. Thank you so much. Hey, have yourself a great morning. We'll get together tomorrow.
You're welcome. You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot, joining us every morning. Melissa and I got a lot of fun things lined up for you this morning. We're going to get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. There's some special birthdays over there today.
Yeah. We'll be diving into that. We will also, I don't know if I have those special birthdays, Melissa. I don't know. we will get into that. We will also be talking about a couple of other fun things. We've got emerging trend, sweatpant jeans. Got to talk about that.
Sweatpant jeans. I'm intrigued.
Got the unhealthiest foods on the planet. We'll be diving into that one as well.
Also intrigued.
9 o'clock hour. Got some entertainment news for you we'll be diving into. We'll also get into some local theater, talk about our newsletter a little bit. And got at least one or two That Ain't Right stories for you as well coming up today. But so I had a class the other day that led to an interesting conversation that completely derailed the whole entire class. We were doing a sketch, and as often things come up with a lot of our the difference of ages between the generation between me and my fellow teacher Brian and our students, and there's things that happen that are cultural or you know pop culture wise or something like that, and then there's things that really just kind of, I don't know how else to put this, were dumbfounding. I had a student who was 18 years old, and we were doing a sketch, and she slipped and fell on her back and had this look on her face like everything in the world had stopped. It wasn't a bad fall. It wasn't a hard fall. It was something that, quite honestly, in improv, you see all the time. But she was having a hard time breathing because she had knocked the wind out of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never done this before. And she had heard of this, but she had no idea what it was like.
It's hard when you experience it for the first time.
And at 18, to go that long in life, and I mean, I think I was like 7 or 8, I fell off the monkey bars and landed. And you're doing
happened
the whole,
a lot as a kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she somehow avoided this. And it got me, it got us talking about things that you don't really get a heads up about. You know, you just gotta experience in life. There's no real way to kind of explain to somebody what it's like to get the wind knocked out of you. You could say that, but I mean, how do you? That doesn't really describe it, does it? I mean, it doesn't really.
No. Not until you've had that experience of not being able to take a breath.
It's so weird. It's such a weird
and
feeling.
People who have asthma obviously have to deal with that on a regular basis, but I think it's slightly different. I would assume. I don't have asthma, but feeling like you can't breathe is a pretty panicky thing to experience.
Yeah. You're certainly having panic attacks, similar, but not the same, of course. But it did get us talking about this and what it actually is and what actually happens. And when this happens, it's a sudden blow or impact to the abdomen that results in a spasm of the diaphragm.
Okay.
The technical term is pharonospasm. And I worked on that one, so I know I got it right.
Congratulations.
It got us, of course, going down another rabbit hole of things that you have to learn the hard way or have to learn difficulty. I think that, no matter how many times our parents tell us to go before we get in the car or go before you put on your sweatpants, and you get the boots and the gloves
suit.
And everything on, and then, of course, you have to go. There's just a long list of these things that I want to hear from the audience. I want to hear from everybody about what are these things that we have to learn the hard way. We are a PG show.
Keep it family friendly.
715-424-2600. You can, of course, text us through the Civic Media app. You want to keep that app handy, everybody, because we got this amazing fun contest going on right now.
So many great prizes.
Up and down the state, Civic Media's Break into Spring Text to Win contest. We just got done wrapping up our first word of the day in the 7 o'clock hour. We got more coming. 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours. Be listening for keywords during those hours to text to us through the Civic Media app, and you can get some great prizes, Melissa.
Yeah, so many chances to win.
Yeah. Keep on listening for that, everybody. We'll talk more about it a little bit later, and I want to hear from you about your lessons the hard way things there. I want to, it's an interesting one to try to explain to somebody.
And then, honestly, just to try to think about lessons learned the hard way that are radio friendly.
Yes.
Because there's a couple that come to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
Shouldn't have got married at 19. Lesson learned the hard way.
It was 18 for me, but yes, 100%. Yeah. 100% I'm with you.
I don't know how you come back from that one.
It's a tough one. One of the other things that we do, certainly, especially when we're young and stuff, is have these habits is a heavier word than I mean, but things that we might do that we don't necessarily keep up doing as we get older. One of them tends to be chewing on things, chewing on pencils, chewing on our fingernails, this kind of thing.
Now,
a new study in South Korea found chewing on pencils could actually improve your memory and help you focus.
Really?
Yeah. Where was this when I was in grade school?
Right? I mean, we always chewed on pencils.
Yeah. why they don't make all pencils edible, by the way, I don't know.
I don't know. Edible might be taken a little too far.
Way too far.
But I just loved, I don't know why this, that brought back the memory so poignantly for me, James, of taking a number 2 yellow pencil and putting it between my middle molars and just biting down to get the impression of my teeth in it. It was such a satisfying thing to do.
It was that little give that it had. Right? That's what it was
and
for me.
You can't go too far.
No.
Can't go too far.
Yeah. Maybe it was as kids, it was how we were living on the edge.
I don't know. But I would do it all the way up and down the pencil. You can always tell which ones were mine.
So people did better on a cognitive test when they were told to chew on a wooden tongue depressor while they took it. They're not sure why it helps, but they think it improves blood flow to the brain and releases an antioxidant called GSH. They also tried it with gum, and that helped too, just not as much. But they say that more research is needed to kind of get this down completely. Your dentist won't like the idea because you could chip a tooth, but the next time you really need to focus, chewing on a number 2 pencil, a popsicle stick, or a wooden tongue depressor might actually be helpful. Now, one thing, there's still a lot of studying and a lot of work that's got to get done on this. But I wonder if any of this has to do with nostalgia and what you just were talking about, Melissa. When we're chewing on this pencil, 99, if not all of us, are in school when we do this. And in school, we're pretty, locked in and focused for the most part. I know we're all kids at the time. So, take that with a grain of salt. But I wonder how much our brain is connecting that with, as an adult, chewing on a tongue depressor or what have you.
Yeah, I don't know. Or a pencil. That's an interesting connection, but I wonder what age of people that they did this study with.
So many variables. Yeah, there's so many variables.
Yeah, if they did this with kids, I don't know. That's really interesting to think about. I loved school as a kid. I loved learning. I loved just the being in the classroom, getting the answer right. It was really enjoyable for me in grade school.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The thought of biting into that pencil really brought back some positive memories. So maybe it is nostalgia. I don't know.
Well, we're you know, of course, still mapping so much of the brain. And when I feel like it's one of the few topics that almost all and everything's on the table. You know, as far as connecting dots and mm-hmm. what connects this to this and some of that. It's part of why I find these studies so interesting, as we're trying to understand the brain, or really ourselves, better.
Hmm. Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't know. You put me back in my one-room schoolhouse as a kid, James.
I wonder what, you know, what as far as when it comes to needing to focus, what most people go to as adults. Because I feel like it's a lot about setup. You know, the room has to be right, or, you know, getting blackout curtains, or having certain music on, or a lot of these things. Whereas kids, give me a pencil. that's fine. I'll go with
Maybe that's what I should try now. Well, because a lot of times when I'm, like, reading and my brain is too busy, I have to have some kind of, like, instrumental music playing in the background. Just some kind of, like, white noise almost to help me focus on the words on the page, especially, like, as you know, the way things are in the world right now.
Yeah.
Our brains are just so busy with everything that's going on. I need something to help with the noise. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll try a pencil.
It might be might not be a bad idea. Might not be bad. Now here's another one. I'm just assuming, but you know, knowing you fairly well, we are similar in this regard. I'm guessing that you do have pencils in the house, but I hadn't thought of this. But I wonder for some people if that's even, you know, if that might, they might have to go get pencils.
We have a mutual friend who abhors pencils and does not use them. and maybe you only have mechanical pencils in your house.
Oh, yeah,
I have a serious lack of pencils in my house. I have one. Mm. I have one, and it's from my mom's old collection of office supplies. So it's, the eraser doesn't work, and it's not yellow. Mm. Honestly, last night at rehearsal, my wonderful production crew has brought in a whole lot of yellow pencils.
That's great.
And so, and everybody grabs them and uses them. So, you know, like, they're communal pencils. Mm-hmm. And I almost started chewing on one, and I was like, hold on, everybody's been touching this. Literally had that thought before I put it in my mouth.
See, be proud of that. You had the thought beforehand. You thought it through.
It was so close. It was so close.
We love to hear from you about this one. Everybody feel free to call up, join the conversation, or text us if you'd like. You can find the complete article at sciencealert.com, sciencealert.com. Before we go to break, I want to let everybody know about a new show that we've got premiering this Sunday. WFHR is a fun lineup for you on Sunday nights. We, of course, kick it off with Director's Playhouse from 5 to 6, from 6 to 8, Seth Faces the Music, and from 8 to 9, Unlabeled. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to have Masters of Mystery Radio Hour.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we had host Rob Young reach out to me a little while ago, and I was checking with Chuck and seeing what they think of this, and everybody liked the idea, so we're going to go ahead and premiere this. It's featuring the best mystery thriller writers in conversation with the most interesting people.
Oh, cool.
The event was held earlier in the month in Minnesota, and they record and produce an hour-long special, which we will be airing for you the last Sunday of every month.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the premiere episode for us here at WFHR will be this Sunday at 9. Be sure to check this out, everybody. It's kind of a fun thing that we're able to bring to the show as we try to, you know, walk the line here of being an informative station, an information station, while also trying to entertain you and give you some fun to listen to and everything. Well,
sounds like a great Sunday lineup, because you'll have the Director's Playhouse where you're talking about theater or you know, creative people, and then you've got music and more music and more music, and then mystery.
I don't know, something about anything mystery related on a Sunday night. You
on
got
a radio station. Yeah, yes. Yeah. No, it's again nostalgia.
Check it out, everybody. We'll talk more about this as we get closer to the weekend. For now, Melissa and I are going to get to our time out. We'll come back and do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR.
I'm
Welcome back, everybody. It's time to do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and our great friends over at El Cafe. Go visit them today. They're open for the week, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Mm-hmm. And while you're there, wish Lori and April happy birthdays today.
Yeah. Yes, wish them good ones, everybody. Be sure to check out their Facebook page. Not only could you comment there and wish them a happy birthday, but you could also check out some of their amazing specials.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they have so many good, delicious things, and I can't get to their page to see what they are.
Oh, yeah. they got some good ones here.
And
some great pictures of those pies. My goodness.
Mm, man. Yeah. And Lori makes the pies, and they're so good. They are so, so delicious. And so many choices, too. She's just got a variety of options. But their Esperanza favorite is at the top of the specials list today. Tasty hash browns loaded with steak and cheddar jack cheese, then topped with our homemade ranchero cheese sauce, served with toaster pancakes. And you can add eggs for just an additional $3.
My goodness.
Yep.
My goodness.
James, did you see the lunch special?
Loaded fries. Loaded fries. I was just waiting. I'm just sitting here waiting to talk about that. Yeah, that looks amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can load them with steak, birria, or machaca?
Machaca.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Ooh, gotta find out.
I'm gonna have to go find out. But Fidel's, I lay awake at night dreaming of food burger.
Yeah, yes.
How does he come up with these?
It's fantastic. I believe that one was an accurate one. Like, he was literally laying in bed and thought of that one.
And dreaming about it. And it sounds fantastic. A bacon cheeseburger loaded with grilled onions and mushrooms, topped off with our jalapeno cheese sauce, served with fries or fruit. Add avocado or a cup of soup for $2.
Buy local, support local. Support our friends over there at El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards, everybody.
And follow their Facebook page, because you're going to get to see pictures of delicious food, delicious pies, and they just have fun on their Facebook page. Yeah. Great job, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Hope your day goes by fast and you make lots of money.
Yes, yes. Tip her. And, of course, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you, everybody. info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600. Or you can just touch or two away on the Civic Media app. You can also text us through there as well.
So we start off wishing, of course, Lori and April happy birthdays. Mm-hmm. Wishing you guys the best of days. We appreciate you so very much. And the rest of our list, Melissa, I need a one or a two.
Ooh, how about one?
All right, get some cross on fire. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to friend of the community, friend of this radio station, Amy Scheid.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Amy's awesome. We wish you a great day, Amy. Enjoy. Hope it's a good one for you. We appreciate you. And taking a look at our qualifier today, Gina Benz.
Happy birthday, Gina.
Gina, enjoy the day. Hope it's a great one for you. We encourage you to brag to strangers, friends, animals, everybody that you're a qualifier for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club.
And we would prefer that you also take video of you bragging to animals, because that would be hilarious.
It would make my day. Yes, it would make my day.
It would make all of our days.
Yes, yes, please do that, please. Let's see who you're sharing your birthday with. Catherine McPhee is 41, American Idol runner-up. It's a solid, I think is a solid career from what I can tell. Danica Patrick is 43, former auto racer.
Okay.
Let's see here. Jenny Slate is 43. Great actress and a fantastic voice actress. She's got such a unique, wonderful voice. She does some voices on Bob's Burgers. She is in It Ends With Us and a couple of other things. You might notice her if you get a look at her. I think you might notice her.
Hmm. Okay.
Lark Voorhees is 51. Lisa on Saved by the Bell.
Ah.
Let's see here. Sarah Jessica Parker is 60. Wow.
Really?
Hmm. I guess that makes sense. I didn't expect her that old.
Not that. Well, I mean, kind of like our childhood there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Such a big part of it.
As I each inch closer and closer to 50, 60 doesn't seem that old anymore. It's funny how that works.
It's funny how that works.
Let's see here. Lisa Gay Hamilton is 61. Judge Holder in The Lincoln Lawyer. Rebecca in The Practice. Wonderful character actor.
Hmm.
Let's see. And Sir Elton John is 78.
Wow, Sir Elton.
Having the Michael Kavanaugh in town recently and singing the hits of Billy Joel and Elton John got me on a go down a rabbit hole of Elton John songs a little while ago. it's tough to pick a favorite, but he's got a couple that just really stand out. And I don't know, he's one of those artists when I think of that, his music just kind of like it's not really era music. It's not. Okay. It just is kind of eternal. It's hard for me to imagine 30, 40 years from now, songs of his, Leave On or Your Song or Tiny Dancer, that are not still going to be relevant, not still going to be listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because his music is very, I don't know, it's iconic, but it's also far-reaching. I know him more for, like, the songs from Disney movies.
Sure.
Tarzan.
Yeah.
But because I didn't really listen to a whole lot of his music, but my goodness, when you look through pictures of him and all his different glasses.
Oh, man. Yeah. You want to talk about artists who were completely themselves and always have been. You know, Elton John, whatever, you like him or not, he has always been himself. He has never put on airs.
But he's got multiple names. Sir Elton Hercules John, born Reginald Kenneth Dwight.
Yeah, quite a name, yeah. Quite a career. Him and Bernie Taupin, the legacy that they have created, whether it is in music or on Broadway or wherever you're talking, yeah, quite a life. Some people. Gloria Steinem is 91 today. I want to mention that.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
91.
And Gene Shalit is 99, former Today Show movie critic and one of the better mustaches in TV history. I don't know if I think Gene Shalit is one. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly. But there was a movie critic that I disagreed strongly with every one of their takes, but I still listened to them. And I think it was Gene Shalit. I don't remember exactly.
That's quite the mustache. Wow.
Yeah. You're not going to see mustaches like that every day. No.
Gene Shalit had one. I mean, that's almost, if he had mutton chops, my goodness. Yeah. Because they extend almost all that way.
Some people no longer with us, like the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Respect, you make me feel like a natural woman. To have a nickname like the Queen of Soul is quite amazing. And it's also really says something. I didn't even have to say her name. If I just said that, everybody knew who I was talking about. One of the more legendary voices of all time.
And also, you know, notably to mention her work with civil rights and being an activist for people.
Really paved the way for so many artists and did so much trailblazing work in her career. You didn't mess with Aretha either. And I think the two went so well together. Her stage presence and who she was off stage were virtually the same. And she was up there, and she was demanding respect. She was talking about what it is to be a woman and certain things, but with no caveats, no apologies, no excuses, no this or that. Just, this is it. This is what I'm looking for. I demand respect. This is who I am as a human being. I'm a woman. This is that. It just very direct and no kind of like, not even really like what so much of the music of that era and even music in general, the metaphors or these kind of, no, just straight up, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. And her voice projected that. Just a very, very impactful artist. And one of the greatest sportscasters and announcers of all time, Howard Cosell, born in this day in 1918, passed away in 1995. Down goes Frazier. With the passing of George Foreman, many of us were going back and watching a lot of old fights, particularly of George Foreman's, and you can't do that and not watch the Frazier-Foreman fight, and of course, Cosell's famous call, one of the most famous calls in broadcasting history. Howard Cosell also had an amazing career, kind of not broadcasting, but interviewing athletes, in particular Muhammad Ali. They would have a almost sparring back and forth, but a love and respect for each other that was really necessary at the time for a black man and a white man. And so much of they give each other credit for their careers. Cosell would not have been as big of a name without Ali. Ali had a really hard time trying to show people who he was, and Cosell helped him do that. The pairing was, it wouldn't work on paper. But it worked, and it's one of the best parts in sport, one of the best stories in sports history. And Cosell was one of the greats. One more time, we're wishing happy birthdays and anniversaries to everybody out there celebrating. Mm-hmm. We would encourage you, if you happen to run into Amy Scheid or Gina Benz today, to wish them happy birthdays and get on over to El Cafe and go right directly and wish Lori and April happy birthdays.
Yeah, do so. They'll appreciate it, and you'll appreciate the pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead and enjoy yourself over there, everybody. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We're going to get to a sports, news, and partner break. Melissa and I will be back. We're going to talk a little bit about the White House Easter egg roll and the emerging trend of sweatpants jeans. All coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of reports coming in from a number of different websites, Fox, CNN, that say next month's White House Easter egg roll will include corporate branding for the first time.
What?
The annual event has been a tradition on the South Lawn since 1878. And this is the first time that they have ever had corporate advertising for it. It's not the first time it's had any type of sponsor, though. The American Egg Board donates the eggs each year, and others kick in money to avoid using taxpayer dollars. But it's the first time you'll be able to pay to have your logo prominently displayed. So I'm guessing the Tesla logo will be on every egg or something like that. Mm-hmm. An event company hired by the White House sent out a 9-page document offering different branding opportunities, packages ranging from $7,500,000 to $200,000. You can pay for things like naming rights for key areas or elements, logos featuring an event signage, or custom branded Easter baskets. Like always, people online are split on this one. Some think money, making money off of it is wrong, especially with kids involved. So you're basically making money off of kids and families. Mm-hmm. Others think it's just another silly way to make a buck that we're used to with this administration. All the money will go to the White House Historical Association nonprofit that works to educate people on the history of the White House, as well as paying for official presidential portraits, which is not a nonprofit. Yeah. I don't have words, James. How often in life has somebody had to offer to pay you to do something and it was a positive? I'm not talking about work. Whether we're talking about the ketamine guy and trying to offer people money for their vote. Or to sway them one way or the other, or something that is supposed to be about, as far as I know, and I'm not saying that this is my wheelhouse, but I believe it's a faith-based holiday, Easter.
Yes, that is correct.
And if not if that isn't what hits you, kids hit you. Easter is a kid's holiday in many ways. At least I've always thought of it as one. How often, when you associate money or sponsorships to these kind of things, do you feel good from it? Do you feel like you're really hitting the meaning of the moment? Isn't this the same group of people that complain that Christmas has gotten corporate? How is this any different? And I understand that immediately some people will turn off from what I'm saying because you're going to think that I vote a certain way or I'm leaning a certain way. And to each your own, you know, it's your brain, you think what you think. But I swear in everything I am, no matter who was the president, no matter what initial they have in front of their name, this is disgusting to me. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to do this. This is a money grab. This is something you see out of a desperate business. That's not something that our government should be doing. That's not something that I believe. If you disagree with me, please call up 715-424-2600. You can jump right in through the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. This is a conversation. This is not me standing on a soapbox. If I'm wrong about this one or there's an angle I'm not seeing on it, I would love to hear it because I've done my homework on this one, and even going to like other sites like Fox or different websites that usually support a lot of these things are very disgusted by this.
It does seem a little distasteful, especially because of what the holiday itself usually represents. I mean, yes, it has gone away from the religious aspects a little bit with the Easter bunny and eggs. I never really understood as a kid why. I mean, yes, Jesus rising from the dead, the birth, the egg. I mean, you can kind of tie it all together, but why is it for sale?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't think that these kind of things we were supposed to market. I understand that, you know, years ago I stopped buying newer sports jerseys because they all have a logo on them now of like a different brand of a company. Because the NBA and soccer and MLB and all these leagues look like they, okay, well, we can make a couple extra bucks if we put this on the jersey. And I don't want to promote that. I don't want to support that. But I don't blame them for doing it because they're a business and that's what they do. That's they're trying to make every buck they can. Easter's not supposed to be a business. Easter's not supposed to be done this way. We're not supposed to, like, as far as I know, again, this is, you know, if I'm wrong on this one, I'm fine with that. I'm willing to listen, but I need to be told why this is okay, why this is a good thing. And if we're cutting money everywhere, left and right and everything, when does the saving begin? Like, for all these jobs and all this money and all this, draining the swamp or what have you, where are the savings? When is this supposed to be helping the middle class? There is no middle class anymore, but no. People who used to be in the middle class, those of us that used to live in this world, right. Where is the assist?
You know, how is this helping to bring prices down?
I would love... I just want to interview, and I just want one question. You just give me one or two questions with our current administration, anybody in it, and anybody who I suppose wasn't voted in, but somehow got pulled into the administration and now gets to do DOGE and all this stuff, even though we didn't vote for that person or anything. How can you relate to us? What have you had to sacrifice? What have you had to do? How has the rising price of this or that affected your life? What one politician can answer that for me in a relatable way? How has any single, and this is Republican or Democrat, man, this is everybody. How is any single politician expected to relate to the modern American person? What have they sacrificed? Because... Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, I might not be getting any calls on the other side of this, but if I ask anybody to call up and tell me what you've had to sacrifice in the last 6 months or the last year, I guarantee that everybody can call up and tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
What can they tell us? What have they sacrificed?
Something that you haven't been able to purchase, or something that you were planning for that you now can't do because you can't afford it, or something you've had to cut back on. I mean, I'm pretty sure all of us can say something like that.
Where is the relatability? Where is the any kind of empathy or kind of understanding of what we are going through when they have no idea? We're talking about the majority of people who have never had dirt under their nails, have never had to work a real day in their life.
And on the surface, you know, that money is being donated to, sure, an educational cause, maybe, and presidential portraits. Is this because the current administration doesn't like the portrait that was painted in 2019?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's getting a lot of attention right now?
Yeah.
Because that painting has been around since 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. And we've got a lot of artists out there. I guarantee there's at least a couple of them, if not many of them, that would do it for free. No matter who the president, no matter what.
Right.
I mean,
just for the opportunity to portray their art in, in a prominent position.
It feels like a pretty easy thing to be able to do. And since 1878, this has existed, this amazing tradition that our White House hosts. And to think that it's going to be branded by whoever, it doesn't matter. By the highest bidder. It doesn't even matter who the company is. I find that a little distasteful, but I'd want to hear from you. What do you guys think? Good morning. You're on the air.
I've got a very trivial question on that matter.
Mm-hmm.
How many eggs on sticks do you think they'll have?
Eggs on sticks.
Eggs on sticks.
Not sure. Yeah.
You know, it's always like an Easter time decoration.
Easter. I don't know that one.
Eggs on sticks. I never understood it either. But if you go to a craft store or like any like craft like decoration place, there's always eggs on sticks.
Yeah, because they stick them in the Easter egg baskets.
Okay, yeah.
Right, as decorations?
Maybe that's where it comes from.
Maybe.
I bet you that's what it is.
Company, and when I worked for a moving company, we ran across them all the time, and we would always laugh because nobody knew what the hell they were for.
What kind of chickens are these eggs coming from?
Somebody
did these ones. Did these ones grow in the flower beds? Like, where did the...
Somebody explain this.
No, that's a really good question.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Yeah, thanks for the call. We got to get to break. When we come back, this emerging trend of sweatpant jeans. We got to talk about that. Talk about that. Coming up on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. This is actually an ongoing topic that goes back to Terry being with us the other day, and Seth and I even touched on it. We'll get into it a second. First, we got to take your calls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, James. I hate to call you back and bother you, but I don't know if you touched on it, but did you know that 55 years ago today, the Band of Gypsies was released on vinyl?
Ooh, no, I didn't. Ooh. No, I did not. Yeah. Nice.
A buddy of mine just sent me a text to that, and I was like, I got to call James back.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Good heads up. Hey.
55 years.
Have a good morning. I got to listen to that today. Yep, that is definitely what I'm listening to.
We have the best listeners.
We really do. Appreciate all of you guys. Feel free to call up as much as you like. You can never bother us. One of the things that I've thought is interesting about this ongoing conversation that we've been talking about is kind of like with the younger generation and how they are just done with jeans. I didn't see this coming, but like they just decided, you know, jeans, not going to do it. Not worth it. Not going to have it. So it used to be just casual Fridays that this was a thing where you could either wear your jeans to work, or maybe if you were a place where you already wore jeans, you could wear more casual like jeans, what have you. With the pre-pandemic and pre-remote work, and with the younger generation not really just not going with this, just kind of pushing against it, and certainly with the need of being able to bring people in. The standards that used to be are not what they used to be. And so there's kind of this give and take and pull of, you know, what is professional wear, what is business casual, all of that. Well, there's an emerging trend of people wearing sweatpant jeans. If you haven't seen this yet, it's what it sounds like. They're sweatpants that are made to look like denim jeans. They're only already available in a bunch of styles. If you Google sweatpant jeans, there are ones in every style that regular jeans come in, including high waist, wide leg, low rise, torn or distressed, and skinny jeans.
The link that was included in the article that you sent me, I was like, whoa, no way, those are hideous. I would never wear those. But then once I Googled sweatpant jeans, you're correct. They're in every style.
Yeah.
And I really think that this is, it's just a fashion trend changing to more comfortable clothing. I hate jeans because they're so restrictive. I can't handle tight things across my stomach. And so I'm all for these because I like the look of jeans. Mm-hmm. I like how they look, but they're just not comfortable.
Yeah.
Unless they're stretchy. And so I'm very intrigued by this.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm upset. I'm mad.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm with you.
That's valid.
I also don't like jeans. Where was this when we were in school? Where was this when we were first starting our business careers?
We could have a whole conversation about the fashion industry, James, and the innovative fabric that was denim. Like when denim was first used as a clothing item, it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fabric that's durable, that would stand up to all of these things that you needed it to do. Well, that's not what we need it for now. It's a fashion. It's a look. It's not, well, I need pants that aren't going to rip. Now they put holes in them on purpose.
right, yeah.
So I think that the need for the actual denim fabric that jeans are made from isn't necessarily needed anymore. We just want the look. And if we can have it with also comfort, well, why wouldn't we?
According to the prices are all over the map, but many find them affordable, and they're closer to sweatpant prices than trending jean prices.
You mean spending over $100 for a pair of, like I said, denim pants that now have holes all over them, which makes them trendy and more expensive?
And are uncomfortable. Like, yes. You know,
restrictive.
Yeah. According to CNN, they're becoming a major viral trend. So someone at your office or your work life or something like that is probably already wearing these or has already worn these.
And the only way you'd be able to tell, more than likely, looking at the pictures, is if you, like, walk up and feel their pants, which I don't recommend trying no. to do to somebody.
Not unless you haven't met your new HR person yet.
and you need a swift introduction.
Yeah. one of the things, too, that stands out to me about this is the idea, and I admit I have nothing to back this up. I just, in my own day-to-day life and the work that I do, I find that I am much more focused and do a lot better if I'm comfortable. You know, simple as that. If people are more comfortable, no matter what the business or what field they're in, it feels like that's going to be more work. They're going to be able to work better or work more or what have you. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything wrong with that. We're talking about something that is an opinion. That is a feeling. There's no mm-hmm. science backing this up that says this is what it means. You know, if you dress this way, you'll be taken seriously, or if you dress this way, you'll be better at business. That's just a feeling. That's just an opinion. That's something that we put on that. This is what it is to be dressing, you know, like a respectable human being. This look particularly, you know,
and societal it was expectations on how we look to qualify as being professional.
Yeah, yeah. Why can't we change this up? I mean, we make the rules.
Well, the only pushback to that I would say, James, is when I worked at school, you know, schools, especially during like homecoming week, you have dress up days, right? Mm-hmm. On pajama day, when I would wear pajamas to work, I did not feel like I was in work mode.
Yeah.
It's a strange cognitive dissonance of, okay, but I'm in my comfy jammy clothes. I don't really want to work. So I think there is some truth to that. However, it's not that, you know, we're coming to work in our pajamas. It's that the fabric of the clothing that we're wearing that still looks professional is now also comfortable as opposed to restrictive. And when you're wearing uncomfortable, restrictive clothing, you're distracted by it sometimes. I mean, how many times have you sat down and the waistband of your jeans digs in somewhere?
It's doing it right now.
Or it's doing it in the crease of your, you know, your hip flexors between your leg and your upper body, your torso. And you have to like stand up and readjust and sit down again. That's uncomfortable. And that causes distraction when you're working.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a family show, so I'm not going to add on to what you just said, but I agree with you. That's all. I'll just say, I agree.
Everybody can experience this is something that brings us all together. We've all experienced this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is why I'm currently wearing leggings.
I'm jealous. I'm just jealous of this whole article, of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I got no problem with it. And I really feel like, given the field, whatever you're doing, if you have a pretty good idea of what is, hey, this is okay, this is casual, professional, this is going to work. You don't want to look like a slob. You don't want to, I don't know, there's just a line there that I feel like most of us understand. And if you don't, mm-hmm. somebody's going to explain it to you.
Right. But jeans are becoming, like, you can dress professionally wearing jeans and look very nice.
Yeah.
So if somebody out there, one of our listeners has these and you have an outfit, I would love for you to send me a picture. Or tell us what they look like, because I have zero money to go buy new
pants. I'm not going to be able to buy anything.
but it's something I could save for, because I would love to have a pair of jeans that were comfortable, that fit well, that also looked professional.
It seems like pockets. It's got to have pockets.
For the love of everything, pockets.
Not asking a lot here, pockets. just pockets. Not a big deal.
Pockets.
You can text us what you think through the Civic Media app, and keep that app handy, because we got Civic Media's Break into Spring Text to Win contest going on. Ooh. Now till April 4th. We're going to be doing this at the top of the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours. We're going to give you a keyword to text to us through the Civic Media app.
Yes, and multiple times a day, you have a chance to win just by sending us that word. Automatically enters you into the drawing, and they do that. Well, they do that drawing like four times a day, right, James?
Yeah, yeah. You got the whole hour to text us that keyword. Be sure to do so. You got the next one coming up at 11. Jane and Greg will have that for you here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. So you can be listening for that. And then a little later today at 1 and at 4 o'clock, we will have this word again for you. And you can possibly win throughout the hours $100 cash or a Chula Vista family stay or a pair of Brewers tickets club level.
Nice.
And all this is for the grand prize. And man, when we say grand prize, we mean it. This is for a really cool, a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo. Includes mattress, ooh, nice, sheets, the whole thing. You're going to get a good night's sleep with that.
Oh, brand new bed. Who wouldn't want one of those for spring?
Be listening every day at 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours for your chance to get that keyword to text to us through the Civic Media app as a part of our statewide Civic Media Breaking a Spring Text to Win contest.
More times you text, more chances to win.
Ah, so much fun. And our phones are just blowing up with these texts. It's such a good feeling. We love it. It's one of the few times I really don't mind my phone going crazy. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.